Just remember my words, live and help live. And then everything will be okay.
It sounds like a song title. It really does.
Live and help live. Live and help live.
Is that a collaboration in the works? Well, you probably couldn't say if it was, but.
Well, you suggested the song, so that means you're my collaborator.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. There you go, Dave.
I just wrote a song, co-wrote a little bit of a song with Desmond. Okay, I can die now. I can die now.
You've done it. Desmond, you talked about you got to see a really cool show that we wanted desperately to go to. You got to see Kiss. Yeah. The last show at Madison Square Garden. How we have to ask you, you know, did it make you a little sad to see him go out without Peter and Ace at least joining him on stage for one song?
Well, I was only really ever really close to Paul.
Okay.
So to me, you know, I was sitting on Paul's side, you know, which is, you know, like if you're looking at stage, the right side, that's Paul's side. And then the other side is Gene's side. So Paul's family is like on this side and Gene's on the other side. And it was just majestic, you know, and you sat there and you realize how talented they are and how musical, how great the playing is.
Yeah.
And, you know, Paul was singing and he's, you know, doing his swag and all that for the last time. And I could feel that he was choked up. It was very emotional. And the way he looked up at us at the end, you know, with these eyes, you know, that were like, he was so vulnerable. And so I'll never forget that feeling. I mean, it gives me goosebumps. And so I'm happy that now, you know, they can rest. They don't feel compelled to do that grind. It's so hard to tour and it's so rough on their bodies. You know, I mean, these guys are like Olympic athletes still going at it, you know, in their 70s, right?
All that gear, the gear, the set
all
list,
the costumes.
Yeah.
The singing, the kind of Olympic singing that Paul's had to do, you know, is unbelievable. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if you all know this, but Gene Simmons, he's never liked the song that Paul and I wrote. I Was Made for Love.
Yeah.
Always, you know, kind of like slagged it, you know, like, you know, it's like he, for him, it was off brand, but maybe he was a little jealous that he wasn't one of the co-writers too, you know, right. because the song really, it has officially become their most successful global hit. And it's constantly being licensed. You know, it's like, I got so lucky that Paul discovered us, you know, my group, Desmond Child and Rouge. By the way, you can follow Desmond Child and Rouge on Instagram too. And it's so cute because you'll never see a picture of us beyond 1979.
Yeah.
You go there, it's a time bubble, you know. It's
yeah,
so
cool. Takes you back. Yeah.
We have thousands of pictures. We'll never run out of pictures, you know, to post and things to say. So we keep that going and we're making new music. And in fact, we're getting together next week, to record an album, a tribute album to Laura Nyro's music.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's just going to be piano and vocals, just stripped down to the bare.
Beautiful.
And we're doing it for us because we love singing together, but that's a whole other story. So Paul came to see us performing at a little place called Trax, T-R-A-X, on West 72nd Street. And it was literally underground. It was an underground rock club. And we were getting ready to go on. We already had our deal at Capitol Records. We were in the midst of recording our first album. And he, you know, Paul showed up because he'd seen our posters all around town. He was intrigued, probably a lot more with the beautiful girls because I sang with three women than he was with me. But anyway, he like came, we got dressed behind the curtain. There was no backstage. It was just the side of the curtain. That's where we were getting dressed. And then the stage was like, one, to take a step, you're on the stage.
Right? Oh, my God.
So wow. He like peeked his head around the curtain. He said, "Hey, you guys, I'm Paul Stanley of Kiss." And we looked at him like we had never seen his face. He'd always had a handkerchief around or you know, we didn't know what he looked like. He could be, you know, a stalker, a poser. We didn't know what he was. He said, "I just want to let you guys know that George Harrison of the Beatles is sitting at the front table."
Nice.
Like I peeked and I was like, oh, like I almost fainted.
Oh my
right?
God.
And now what was that like? Sing
for one of the Beatles, right?
Yeah.
So then after the show, because we killed it that night, I mean, we like gave it all we had. He said, "You know, we should try writing a song together." And I said, "Okay, well, you know, maybe you could write a song with me for our record. You know, we're still making it." So I had a start that I had done with David Landau, John Landau's brother, who was our guitarist. And we wrote a song called "The Fight." And it already had the beginnings of that, you know, kind of fist in the air thing. Left, right, left, you know, like Ricky Martin. Upside, inside, out, you know. You know, like, here we go. Ale, ale, ale. You know, it was the beginnings of that. And this is 1978. And wow. That went on to the Desmond Child Revolution. And then, you know, he called and said, "You know, let's do something else." I said, "Well, let's write a song for your group." And he looked at me like, "You don't know Gene." You know, like, "We'll try," like, whatever. So I show up at SIR and they were rehearsing and on their lunch break, and it was exactly 1 o'clock. And they come the guys come tumbling out, like kind of knocking into me, you know, with their like big leather jackets. And, you know, it was like, you know, one of those things, like they look like a gang, right? And so I went into the rehearsal room and Paul was there waiting for me. And there was a 9-foot, you know, concert grand piano on the side, but it had big, heavy canvas cover on it. Like Kiss had no use for a piano, right? Yeah. So we peel back the cover and sit side by side and we start writing "I Was Made for Loving You."
Wow.
And the rest is history. The rest is Kiss-tory.
Yeah.
When you heard that song played for the final time at a Kiss show, what was that? Was that very emotional? And do you think it is their last?
Yes.
True go around.
It's just too much, you know, really, honestly, they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, they may come back for to sing a song in a, you know, kind of Live Aid kind of situation or with something like that.
Right.
But, you know, when they say it's done because now they're going into avatars and a whole new, like, immersive Kiss experience of the future. I went to see the ABBA Voyage in London and I went twice. I loved it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like you're looking at them and they brought me to tears. And there's so many things you can do. Somebody can like do a spin and disappear into a puff of smoke. You know, like they do like real theatrical things that they couldn't do in a physical form. Yeah. And so one of the things, you know, that I noticed was, you know, Gene, you know, has till this day, you know, hates the song, which I think helped the song that there was always controversy around the song, you know. And so I noticed that, you know, for that song, Paul, rides, like he like flies over the audience to the remote stage to sing that song. And I'm going, Gene can't even be on the same stage when that song.
Yeah, that's funny.
You know, I just had a wonderful experience, and you know, even got to take a picture with Paul's son Evan and Gene's son Nick.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's kind of like I've known them since like before they were born, right? I mean, and now like Nick is there and I'm looking at him, he's got like gray hair. It's like, what? You know, like little start of gray hair. It's like, oh gosh.
Man, time is going
by so fast.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm just so you know, grateful that Paul has been my mentor. I mean, I say, you know, Paul Stanley taught me how to write stadium anthems the KISS way. And I've been able to apply what I learned from Paul Stanley to all the music I've collaborated on with Bon Jovi, Aerosmith, Joan Jett, Alice Cooper, you know, Rat, Detonator. Yeah. All of that, you know, stems from Paul's like mentorship, really. Because, you know, I'd be writing with him. He said, no, Kiss can't sing that. Because the protagonist in a Kiss song always has to win.
Yeah. Live to win.
Victory. Yeah, well, yeah, we wrote that, yeah, with Andreas Carlson. Live to win. Remember South Park?
You know, yeah.
Great career highlights for me. And and so, you know, I always give him credit. Like, there would be no Desmond Child without Paul Stanley. Absolutely. Because he opened the door. He gave my number to John Bon Jovi. And then that opened the door to Aerosmith and Cher and, you know, so everything that I did in the 80s.
And the Dudes of Wrath. You got to get that in there. The Dudes of Wrath.
Oh, right. You know,
that's
so
cool.
I was I was the music supervisor for Shocker, Wes Craven's cult film. And so I put together this band called the Dudes of Wrath just for fun. And Paul and I were the lead singers. And we had Tommy Lee on drums. We had Rudy Sarzo, who is fellow Cuban on bass. He was like from Whitesnake, right?
Yep.
And we had Guy Man Dude on guitar.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And Nikki Six, I think.
Yeah. Was Michael Anthony in that too? Was it Michael Anthony or no?
No.
No, it wasn't. No, okay.
Yeah. Not Michael Anthony. But I mean, we went into I think we recorded Henson, you know, which was before was A&M Studios. And we made like these cool songs. And I also produced Alice Cooper, who I had just done Poison, Trash with, and Poison and all that, on a song of Alice's called No More Mr. Nice Guy, that was done by Dave Mustaine and Megadeth.
Mm.
And, I've done like some amazing things with some like very strange people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had quite a life.
Kiss is not going to tour again, but do you ever see Gene and Paul, Tommy, those guys getting back and making a record in the studio?
Of course. I think Kiss is going to keep making records. You know, that right doesn't on. Mean tour them.
Right.
But, when they start doing these avatars, this is like a perfect way to release singles.
Yeah.
You know, in those shows, these shows, you know, I know what it could look like. And in fact, at the end of the show, they showed a little bit of the avatars up on the screen.
Right.
I mean, that's not, I think the avatars to come are going to be way more realistic, because the ones that ABBA did are like breathtaking, like little stray hairs, every little like poor, like crooked little tooth over here, like so realistic, a tear, you know, wow. like when they sang The Winner Takes It All. I mean, it was like so emotional. And you just, it's breathtaking. And I think it's wonderful because, look, the world's a big place. And it would be wonderful to bring, you know, the essence and, you know, the imagery and all these this music to people all over the world, you know, in a way that they would not have been able to experience because, you know, they didn't live in those times and all that. So this is a way of reaching immortality. So in this case, I applaud AI. Because this is a positive use because there's consent, there's credit, and there's compensation. Those are the things that we spoke about before. And it's the band choosing to do it, wanting to do it, having a hand in how it comes out and how it sounds. That's artistic control.
Yeah.
And so in those cases, bring it on, you know, but, you know, don't try to say that this is just fair use, like listening to a song, you know, just like, you know, not having to pay for it.
Absolutely. Desmond Child. Wow. Oh my gosh. We could talk to you for hours. Desmond Child, the book is Living on a Prayer, Big Songs, Big Life. And oh my gosh. Thank you. Yeah.
Hi, everybody. This is Rob Halford.
The Rudy Sargent.
Hi, this is Steve Hackett.
Hey, folks, this is Rick Emmett of Triumph.
And we're talking rock with Dave and Shane.
Yeah!